This is Will's Band of the Week for March 25th, 2018. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
Back to the regular podcast. None of this unusual stuff.
Right.
You know, no outsiders recording with us. Just the core.
Just the core.
And, so here we are. So we were having a conversation, one of those conversations where we talk to each other through the microphones before we start recording.
Right.
And then you said, well, this is good. We should be recording this.
But now if we replayed all the stuff that we talked about, it would sound rehearsed.
Right, and the comments won't be as spontaneous.
Right.
So,
Yeah. It had to do with a runway and a refueling and Scotland.
Right.
And Olympics.
Right. It covered everything.
Yep.
All of that. Do you think the listeners can put that all together? It's like a mystery.
I know.
A puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle.
Maybe we'll just sprinkle little hints of what we were talking about throughout the podcast.
Yeah.
And,
It's like a whodunit at the end. It'll all fit together. It'll all make sense. Every word that we drop in actually fits into the story somehow.
Right.
And we could have done some pre-production, but we decided after about 2 minutes of conversation that had nothing to do with the podcast at all, right?
Right.
We just decided, let's start it rolling.
Right.
Because that's the kind of podcast we are.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
we should learn, like, any time where, you know, we're just a couple of regular guys, maybe even below average.
Yeah.
And we come in this studio and we're just like nobody. Something happens when you put these headphones on and you grab the microphone. It's magic.
It is a magic. Totally. Yeah.
And we've got to learn just, like, don't ever put these things on and grab this microphone without the tape rolling.
Yeah. Well, this came up. I was talking to Grant the other day. He was saying that, you know, he's been creating all this music and coming up with pretty good ideas. But then whenever he turns the recorder on, somehow it doesn't come back. Like, and he can't recreate it when he turns the recorder on.
Yeah.
So I was telling him how some bands, they go into the studio and they just leave the tape machine on. Right. You hear stories like that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they create, you know, 100 hours of whatever. And then they might have some good stuff that they can use later. And then they never lose a good creative moment.
Right.
Right. So I suppose we could just carry microphones around with us all day, all the time.
We could do that.
You know, and then just think of all the great lines that you might have in a particular day that just don't get, you never get credit for them because they don't get recorded.
Usually you have this kind of a monologue going on in your head that's narrating your day, things that you're doing. Yeah, if we would just, like, speak all those things instead of just thinking them.
Right. Yeah, who needs written diaries anymore? Just turn your voice memo thing on your phone all the time.
Right.
And then after you die, people can just listen to your whole life.
Yeah, totally. maybe just one day, right?
A day in the life.
Yeah, like maybe you could have your wife turn on the microphone at night, so like at midnight. Mm-hmm. So you'd get about 6 hours of mostly silence and maybe some deep breathing or snoring.
Right.
And the listener would have to get through that. But then after that, you can start to narrate your day from, you know, 6 a.m. until 11 p.m. or whenever you go to bed. I think that would be really exciting.
It would be pretty good. Yeah. That would be the premium content. Only the people who pay would get that.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
We'll put that on the to-do list along with our Indy 500.
Right.
And what else? I don't know.
We're so full of great ideas.
Right. Hopefully somebody's writing all these things down and then they can come back to us and
with a proposal to monetize, right?
Right.
I've been getting those on the Will's Band email. There's one recently that said monetize your podcast.
I think I got that same one where he was like a financial advisor.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't read it very closely.
Yeah.
And then
what would everybody think about that and be like, okay, before we play another song by Ott, we're going to have a little commercial here.
Right.
This guy talks about his investment scheme.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, they're all the classic advertisers for podcasts. It used to be stamps.com a few years ago, and I think they've kind of faded away, at least from that advertising method. Now it's always a mattress, right? Just always some foam mattress company.
Or
what else? Like Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things that sort of make sense.
Why don't we advertise on somebody else's podcast, right?
How about this? Right in the middle of the NPR podcast, we'll be back right after this, and then an ad for Will's Band of the Week.
Yeah, and if we could, you know, say anything we wanted, we'd just say like, hey, everybody, this podcast you're listening to is not good.
Right.
Check out Will's Band
we've got
of the
a,
Week.
Yeah, we've got a better one.
Yeah.
So switch over.
I wonder if they'd let us do that, you know? We could work something like that and say, like, can we get the first 6 months for free? Just so if we can make sure this is going to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that time, then we just stop.
Then we could just cancel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Boy, we are so full of great ideas. It's incredible.
Yep.
Okay, there was a little bit of music news that I noticed. Did you see that the artist formerly known as Sinead O'Connor is going to start playing shows and maybe do a summer tour?
Really?
Yeah. Did you know that she's formerly known as Sinead O'Connor now?
I did not.
Yeah, she's got a new name now.
What is her new name? I'm afraid to even ask.
Her name is now Magda Davitt.
I see.
Yeah. So do you remember, I think it was maybe 6 months ago or something, there was this horrible story that she had,
jumped into the Chicago River, right?
Or I don't know, it was something like she was missing and they were looking for her and she was thought to be suicidal. And I remember reading the stories and thinking, oh God, the next one is going to be bad. But she got through that. And then apparently this is a whole deal with like rejecting her mother after a traumatic childhood. But anyway, so she's now Magda Davitt. That's good to see she's in a better state now that she is able to get back into performing.
Yeah, that's good. I'm, you know, when you think about somebody struggling with mental illness, it's kind of hard to relate. But
I
don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But it must be horrible, and I have a lot of maybe not understanding about how bad it could be, but empathy and
Yeah. And it's good to see somebody kind of make a comeback and, you know, late career. We're fans of late career comebacks.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the circumstances. I think that it's been a pretty good week for the aging rockers. No prominent deaths that I can think of.
I can't think of anything either.
Of course, it's even more insulting if there's a death and we don't notice it.
Right.
Right? So hopefully that didn't happen.
I hope not.
Yeah, I think the aging rockers made another week, so that's good. Anything else? Let's see. You know what? I just realized I've got a live report.
Let's hear it.
Well, this is a live report that people have heard before from other live reports. Another Proto Martyr show.
That's right.
So I traveled to Milwaukee, and I think you were elsewhere in Milwaukee at the time.
Well, that was the plan, and we ended up not going to Milwaukee. Milwaukee came to us. My mom came to Madison. So
it was your birthday, right?
It was my birthday, yeah.
See, I know that because the social media announces everybody's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned off that feature on Facebook. Both announcing my birthday and telling me when it's everybody else's birthday, because I was getting kind of birthday overkill.
Yeah.
But the people who I know well and I have like a lot of common friends with, I always see, hey, happy birthday, whoever.
Right.
So that's how I found out it was your birthday.
Yeah.
So I hope you had a good birthday.
I did. It was very nice. I didn't see Protomartyr, though. That might have made it even better.
You did not see Protomartyr. They played at a pretty cool bar in Milwaukee called Company Brewing.
Yeah, we went. I went there once.
And it's got a stage kind of in the corner. It's pretty well set up. And the only criticism I would have is that it was really late. It was hard on the aging rockers.
Yeah.
But I made arrangements, knowing it was going to be late. I made arrangements to stay overnight because I didn't want to drive back and get home at 2 o'clock and be just fighting to stay awake driving. Right. I don't like that.
No.
So, but it all worked out. And Protomartyr was great. Fun to see a bunch of the new songs performed live, which I had not seen. And now they've got so many, you know, at least to a big fan like me, they have so many good songs that they can't even play half of their really, you know, their song list is just limited by time.
Yeah.
But it was all good. Positive experience. It was an enthusiastic crowd. Good sound. I kept thinking they've been on the road a lot. They've been playing these songs a lot. And does it get tedious? You know, you just wonder. But they were up to the task.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That is cool. That would be a lot of, that would be hard to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. And I think I've looked at some of their set lists and they switch it up a little bit, but not a lot. You know, they'll switch out like two or three songs.
Yeah.
But they have the almost always open with the same one or two songs and they almost always close with the same like two or three.
Yeah.
And then they mix it up a little. But they were heading back to Michigan the night after, so it was the second to last show on the current leg of the tour or whatever. But then they're going to be going to more exotic places like France and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. What if it was our job to do this podcast? Like, you know, okay, so we record this on Sunday in Madison and we get on the bus, do it tomorrow night in Chicago, like an hour and a half every day.
Yeah.
I think it would be tough. And you'd be trying to say the same things, not the exact same things, but in a little bit different order, but you'd kind of have the things that you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't think I would enjoy that at all.
Maybe not.
The traveling is just exhausting generally. So
traveling is fun if it's a vacation and it's not too often, right?
Right.
If you have to do it a lot for work, it gets tedious and, yeah, so it kind of depends.
That's true.
So I think we could make it work when we do our world tour.
Yeah.
Because we'll have things that we can do in all these cities and explore.
Right.
You know.
Kind of like when you were in Scotland and they let you walk off the plane and stand on the ground so you could say you've been in Scotland.
They did let me do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's another little thing that we were talking about.
Right.
So.
Yep. I stood on the ground in Scotland and saluted my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yes. The land of the Scots.
Yep. Well, is it time for the regular part of the podcast? We got some music.
Sure.
We got three albums on the agenda and good variety, I think. Although some people would say we don't have any variety. All of our bands sound the same. They sound like indie rock. But
yeah, that's probably a fair.
Depends on your perspective, right? Yeah.
Like if we had a country music podcast or if we were country music fans, well, this is what you listen to. I mean, you know, they're not going to have a podcast about U.S. girls just because they think they should.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah. So speaking of U.S. girls, let's talk about U.S. girls. Now, the irony is that U.S. girls only has one girl in the band, I think, right? I mean, basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of her.
It's a woman named Meg Remy. And the other ironic part of it is that she moved to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So she's from the U.S. From what I read, she grew up in Illinois, spent some time in Chicago, and then in Portland, and then I'm not sure where this all fits in, but I think she married a guy from Canada, and then she moved to Canada, or maybe the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's in Toronto, but I saw one reference to Vancouver, so.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the bio. Do you think I got somewhere that pretty well?
Yeah,
pretty
good? That's pretty good. Now that we know all about her life, when we listen to the music, it'll kind of make a little bit more sense.
Right. So I'd be happy to give you the first choice.
Okay. Hold on one sec. All right. I'm going to pick the terribly named song, Incidental Boogie. Boogie is one of my least favorite words.
That's right. We were talking about that before.
Yeah, I hate it.
But somehow the song survived the title.
Yeah.
Incidental Boogie.
He left me alone completely. For once I slept deeply. And for this I thank the Father. But I gotta tell you something that you don't wanna hear. It's the truth and it's never easy to hear. But my new man, and he was that bad.
So, yeah, that's how that one goes.
Yeah.
This is one of Craig's favorite phenomenons where the song that you pick doesn't illustrate the thing that you want to say.
Uh-huh.
But the first time I listened to this album, I'll ask you this. Are there any singers, past or present, that this reminded you of?
Yeah, there's one. That wasn't what I thought. The one that came to mind is actually one of my old favorites, Sarah Cracknell from Saint Etienne.
Okay.
She's got a little bit of that similar vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because parts of this album have kind of a dance beat kind of thing going on, that kind of led me to that comparison too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So immediately, yeah, Kate Bush was the one that jumped to mind, and not every song. And she got kind of a lot of variety in her, in the way that she sings each of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But, so.
The album is called In a Poem Unlimited. So, I'll make a pick. The one that I found the most catchy and most lasting is number 5, Rosebud.
Yep. That song bears striking resemblance to the Spinners song, I'll Be Around.
Interesting.
It's got just kind of that same, it's not the bass line, whatever, there's like a little keyboard part that repeats. It's close enough that it almost can't have been accidental.
Well, that's a good expression of your musical vocabulary.
The Spinners.
Yep. Well, let's pick another one. You got
all
one?
Right. Yeah, I'm going to do something that we try to avoid on this podcast. Play the first song.
Sometimes Velvet you got to do
sale.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Velvet for Sale. U.S. Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was worth it to play that one, I think.
Yeah, it's a good vocal performance on that one.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of remarkable for its diversity of sound, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did I read this, am I remembering correctly, that she was at South by Southwest with like an 8 or 9 person band?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I think I read that. And it, of course, I had mixed feelings. So first thought is, wow, that's cool. Second thought is it just a rat race down there? Like everybody trying to outdo everybody else, you know, trying to make it in the music business. And, you know, some of the bands that we've heard of are, you know, a little bit more well-known than some of the others. And they get like 5 shows down there.
Yeah.
They'll just go, they'll play 2 in a day, you know. Yeah. Oh, we're playing on some rooftop at 10 a.m. And we got another gig at 4 p.m. that day. And then the next day, there's one at noon somewhere. And
well, we'll find out right next year. That it can finally be announced that the Will's Band of the Week crew will be heading down to Austin, Texas.
There's a
March
plan.
March of 2018.
2019.
2019.
It's hard to believe it's already 2018. Yeah. The years just fly by. Yeah.
Well, that's the plan. Craig is certainly going to go.
Right.
And you know, if he can come all the way from the UK, it makes us look pretty bad if we can't. I mean, you could drive there.
Right.
You could. I don't know that we'd want to, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Chris would definitely do it. He's always wanted to do that. And, yeah.
Well,
one of those things. I think it's one of those things where you can read about it and you sort of try to picture, like, what would it be like to be there?
Yeah.
I don't think you can really, until you see it, it seems like I can't really get my head around what it would be like.
It would be pretty cool for us to be able to do, you know, we could basically do the NPR thing. And we could do a late night report every night.
Yeah.
And ours would be, of course, superior
right.
to the NPR one. Because, like, if we saw somebody that we didn't like, we would say, you know, I went to see this band and it sucked. Or I went to see this band and the line was too long, so right. I didn't go. Of course, they say that sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and be like, oh, the line was too long for this, so we went to this little thing, and it was amazing. You know, that would be kind of our template, right? Yeah. We'll just go to the off-the-beaten-track stuff and discover things that nobody else is talking about.
Yeah. Right?
Let's make that the plan.
Yeah, I think so. So there will be a presence. We will have a presence.
Right.
Because I think Craig is pretty much committed. So
yeah.
It's just to see if the rest of us can fall in line. Maybe Nicholas should come over for
Nicholas should come over.
Would that be cool or what?
Yeah.
David, maybe he can make it.
David should be able to make it.
We need like a huge house to rent. Like
David can like, I don't know if David has a car. Where he lives, it's a good chance he doesn't. But maybe he could rent a car and then just pick up Anurag. It's sure. on the way.
Yeah, it would be on the way, right?
Well, yeah. If he were going through Madison, which he would probably want to do.
He could drive through Canada, mm-hmm. and then it's basically direct, right? I think. Sort of direct.
Well, to get from here to New York, you can either go up or underneath Lake Erie. So they're about the same. So you might as well go pick up Anurag.
Sure, yeah. Well, okay, we're working in the right direction already.
And Craig is an excellent planner.
Right. We could just put him in charge.
Put him in charge. Just like, tell us when to get up, where are we going next, what are we going to eat?
I mean,
I don't want to think about any of that stuff.
You know, my needs are pretty simple. As long as I have a rooftop suite with at least 2,000 square feet, personal service of, food and drinks, that's pretty much about it. King size bed.
Simple man with simple needs.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if I just let Craig know that's what I need,
right,
then he should get it lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of course, I mean, no matter what he does, it's going to fall short of your expectations.
Well, it might. Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty behind the scenes. It's pretty hard driving around here. You know, that's what it takes to put together a podcast of this quality.
Right.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes and there's very little tolerance for imperfection.
Right.
So that's just the way it is. It's the way life is, right? Mm-hmm. People need to understand that. Should we talk about another band?
Yeah, let's do it.
There's another band called Moaning. This is interesting because I think they kind of got hype and then they kind of didn't really achieve what the hype was trying to achieve, right? Because you don't hear about them that much, but they're on Sub Pop.
Yeah. I guess I'm not, that didn't stick out to me. Maybe because I didn't hear the hype ahead of time.
Hmm.
But
I just remember reading about it, and maybe just because I happened to catch a couple of things beforehand, where I'm like, oh, there's this band. And then it got a few reviews, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Are they on tour?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
But I think it is a good example of, you always talk about how we should value the contribution that labels have.
Right.
So, like, I mean, it does mean something if you're on Sub Pop or you're on Matador or whatever. Because these people are, obviously, they're trying to make money, but they're also trying to promote artists that they think are good, right?
Yes.
You hope?
Hopefully, there's a little bit of the latter. Mostly, it's the former, probably.
Yeah.
Depending on the label, I guess.
Right. So, this is an L.A. band, and sometimes I'm a little biased, I think, against L.A. bands because they just seem sometimes like they're too slick. This one's an interesting one. So, it's a self-titled album called Moaning. Do you have a track to pick?
Let's see here. I'm going to pick number 4. It's either called Close or Close.
I think I'm going to go with Close.
Yeah.
That's moaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That one's got, like, there's the really great vocal hook there.
Yeah.
And this one, you know, it's a guitar band, but the keyboard is very prominent, and I think that's what kind of makes them stand out from a lot of other bands that sound pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually my first pick, too. So I'm going to commend you on making the correct pick.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a tuneful one. They vary a little bit from that, is maybe sort of one end, and then sort of aggressive, louder, crunchier stuff, right?
Yeah.
But overall, it's a pretty good range, I think. I will pick a track. I'm going to go back to number 3. It's called Artificial.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. A
little bit gloomier tone,
mm-hmm.
but pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, I looked up their tour schedule, and by the time anybody hears this, they will have played their... Well, they're playing tonight in Boise and tomorrow in Reno.
Hmm.
But then they hit the road, and they're not even the road. They're going to travel overseas and go to Portugal, Spain, France, the UK, and then they come back and play a show in Brooklyn at the end. So, yeah, I don't know. That's not really the recipe for success within the United States, you know, to release an album and then take off.
Maybe they, you know, certain bands just are able to gain a following in different places for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
right?
They're big in Portugal.
So maybe one example is some of these jangle pop bands that we like a lot. They aren't really big here. You know, like the Bats, you know, some of these Australian, New Zealand bands.
Mm-hmm.
Their pocket of, area where they have a big following is not here.
Right.
It works out well for us because they come and play and there's only 100 people there and we can be right in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So as a self-interest thing, I guess it's okay.
Right.
Although there are a lot of bands that I would love to see tour around here, but it's just not feasible.
Right.
Like Chuck Race. Remember them from a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
I love that album. I would love that if they would come here, but I don't know.
Speaking of Australian bands, isn't Camp Cope coming here?
I think they are, yeah.
Yeah. I think David...
Yeah, David told us.
David
yeah.
told us about that.
Yeah.
And I think he also promised that he was going to come and record an episode in the studio.
That would be
take
good.
Take us out to the show and take us out for drinks and stuff.
Right. Yeah, there's certain obligations.
Right.
Yeah. That would be good. You should do that.
Again, you might as well swing by and pick up Anurag.
Right.
Yeah.
Anurag needs to do a little bit more rocking, I can tell he needs a little bit more rock and roll in mm-hmm. his life. He has the podcast, which is good.
That's good.
But yeah. All right. Do we have another track from the Moaning album?
I'm going to pick one called For Now.
And that's track 7. We kind of have a thing that when in doubt, go with track 7, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Moaning.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be my summary. It's a little inconsistent, but on the other hand, it has some very good moments, and it's kind of a nice, concise 10 songs, 33 and a half minutes.
Right.
To its credit, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with all that. I see it more consistent than you do, but it's consistently like well above average, but I don't know. At first, I thought I was really going to like it, and it's one of those like the opposite of a grower, where repeated listenings, like, it just gets
it's interesting.
Like a little bit less.
Isn't it interesting how you don't really know, like, when you first listen, you know whether it's worth listening again, but you don't know how it's going to wear on you.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting.
Which, thank God we're not, like, actual reviewers. That would be so hard.
You know?
Like, an album's going to be released on Friday, so you'll get an advance, and the thing is going to run in your paper or on your whatever, in a few days, and you've got to figure out an opinion about that people could potentially read years down the road.
Yeah. For me, the whole idea of, we've talked about this before, but do you really want to review something to make the point to tell people not to listen to it? I guess if you're a reviewer for like a big publication, then every album that is going to, potentially get bought by a million people, that's going to be in your assignment list to listen to. And then I guess you got to come up with something intelligent to say about it.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit,
very hard.
It's a little different than what we do, which is basically we're either putting things on that we really like, or at least that we're neutral enough on that are interesting enough to listen to. Right.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's like, hey, here's the new, somebody that's really big. Here's the new. What is wrong with me?
Can't think of anybody who's big. How about Lord?
Here's the new Lord. Here's the new Selena Gomez. Like,
yeah.
How in the hell can you listen to that and have anything intelligent to say about it?
Yeah, and who would ever want to hear what we had to say about it?
Yeah, exactly. But I guess if we worked for a newspaper, they wouldn't give that to us. Right.
They'd
be like, hey, there's a new Wilco coming out. Here you go, old guy.
Right. They'd assign us to aging rockers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
All right.
You don't have to worry about that.
Nope. We've got one more. I told you about Mintfield, didn't I?
You did.
Did you listen at all to Mintfield?
I didn't.
So this is going to be one of those things where you get to react. Right. So this was my first reaction to Mintfield. It was, this is the music that I would recommend to Chris to put on when he's writing.
Okay.
Okay, but it's going to be a little more toward my end of the musical taste, which is the dreamy, shoegazy side of things. But it's mostly instrumental. And what I think is really interesting about this band is that, well, there are a lot of interesting things about them. But where they're from is very interesting. So let's play a track and then see if people can, you know, just conceptualize where you think this band is from. There's going to be a little, I guess, a little clue here because the most of the song titles are in Spanish. The band name is Mintfield in English, but the title of the album is Pasar de las Luchas. And my Spanish is probably really bad. And I'm going to play track 2, Ojos en el Carro. That's Mintfield.
Mm-hmm. That's very nice and good. That's my three-word review.
I think that would soothe the people at the coffee shop.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? They wouldn't get too aggressive. You put that on. If there's a fight breaking out, you put that on, everybody kind of
You always got to be ready for that. A little bit. Right, fight breaking up music.
Uh-huh.
Always queued up, ready to go.
You have to have it ready. Did you look it up? Do you know where they're from?
No, I didn't. I was kind of lost in random thoughts while that was going on. I will now, though, if you want to keep talking.
They're from Tijuana.
Okay.
Northwestern Mexico. What do you call that? They always call it a border town. It's like not quite to the United States, but it's the far northwestern corner of Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, it's right by San Diego, right?
I think so, yeah.
Just a few miles apart, I think.
Yeah. So that's where they're from.
That's interesting.
And it's 2 21-year-olds. They're young people.
They're young.
And apparently they've had some gigs opening for other bands, and they had a gig, I think, at Coachella, I think they played.
Uh-huh.
So they impressed somebody.
Yeah.
And then they recorded this album in Detroit, of all places. So I think there was a certain engineer, producer guy that they must have met and decided to record with him.
You know, so, if you're all the way, you're so close to L.A., it just seems that would be the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm. Like, you mean to find a studio and a producer? Yeah. Well,
but
nobody tells Mintfield how to do things.
No.
Clearly, they're very independent. So here's another track that I'm going to How do you think you pronounce that word, Barrett? I want you to be embarrassed with me. Ciudad.
Ciudad. That means city.
Oh, okay. There you go. Ciudad Satellite.
Satellite City.
There you go. Track 3. Mintfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's dreamy.
Yeah, again, I think we've found a new genre here. Fight breakup music.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People could be like in the middle of a huge brawl, and you put that on, it would just be like, slow down.
People. Right.
Everything's cool.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is that like a thing, like a King Kong thing or something? Like, you know, the old music soothes the savage beast? Like, there's some character that when he's going crazy, you play a violin and they're just like, or oh, maybe it's Frankenstein.
That could be.
And
I
then
can't
he starts
remember
to cry.
Oh, something, right? What a cool guy.
Maybe that's the movie Young Frankenstein.
He's a sensitive guy.
Yeah, I'll have to check into that.
All right, maybe the listeners will remember. That's Mintfield. Okay, one more. The album, by the way, is very long. It's over an hour long, but I think it's excusable in this case just because it's kind of a mood piece.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I got to really like it. I just put it on and just let it go. And I kept thinking, hey, this is pretty good. In fact, I fell asleep to it a couple times. And then I'm like, I think I fell asleep at track 4. So the next time I started listening, I said, I better start at track 4 or 5 because I never heard those.
Right.
Have you ever had that happen?
Sure.
Yeah. So it was kind of the odd way that I got to know this album. But when I made it all the way to the second to last track, that's another really good one. It's called Para Gali.
I think if we put that on to break up a fight, that one might start the fighting again. I don't know.
Yeah, it started to rock just a little too much.
Feeling I have about that one.
Right. That one's a little dangerous.
So if we're making a playlist, just take that one off.
Got to be careful. Right. That's Mintfield. And
that's good.
I was thinking, you know, you can't play that with two people. You could record it with two people, but you couldn't play it live with two people. So I found a YouTube live video that clearly shows that they have four people on the stage. There's a couple of them here. Let's see. Here's one. They're rocking. On that one, you can only see three people. Here's a studio session.
Hello, we're Mintfield. We're from Tijuana. We're very happy to be here tonight at KSDT. Thanks for having us.
Well, there's a little live snippet. But
They chose to play that in the studio, right?
Yeah.
And that's the one that you chose, so you picked their favorite song.
Apparently I did. Good. Yeah, good and job. I had not seen these videos before, so I'm clearly on to this band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that they did should not affect your decision about which song to play.
Not at all. They should probably make their way this direction at some point. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think that I mentioned at the beginning, I called them mostly instrumental, and then the tracks that I played all had prominent vocals.
Yeah, classic podcast.
Yeah, but I think that still, if you take the whole 1 hour plus long album, there's probably only vocals on, you know, like a third of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a mood piece, but very good. Mintfield, check them out.
Yeah, I hope they do make it up this way. They could play the Indy 500.
Right? They could definitely make that list.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be scraping to get the full 500 bands. You know, like when you're in like band number 389, be like, who's that going to be? Oh, well, some Grant's got a friend from high school he can play. maybe we shouldn't sell ourselves short. I mean, we've probably featured 500 bands on the podcast. I mean, I'm sure we have.
Easily. Right?
Because we've had, 400 some podcasts.
Right.
And there have been, you know, a lot of repeats, but
only for the first couple were there like single album.
Right. Podcasting. So there's been an average of probably at least two bands per podcast. So that's 800. Take out the repeats. Well, I don't know if we talked about 500. Man. Hard to know, but it's a lot.
A lot.
Yep.
We need to get an official count because at some point we're going to hit that 500th episode.
We have to celebrate that, I suppose, right?
Mm-hmm. And we're coming up on, it's probably going to be next year, because next September is going to be
the 10-year
anniversary.
Maybe that's when we should do our top 10 of the decade.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We could do that before we do, would that be too weird to do that before we do the top 10 for that particular year? That's the only thing. It almost seems like the decade one should come in like February or March. Because then we will have completed the prior year.
Yeah, I don't know.
We've got a year and a half to figure that out. So
it's going
to
be hard, too. I might want to limit myself and just have it be one per year. My favorite one from each year.
Well, you've already done that because you've made your list every year.
That'd make it easy.
Yeah, you could just do that.
But I think I'd probably reshuffle it.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know? It doesn't make any sense unless you just happen to discover something later and you were like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. How could I possibly have missed this? If you don't have anything on that level, then you're not going to have something that didn't make your top 10 at all, but is in the top 10 for the decade, right? So you've got, if you can go find all of your lists, then you can just kind of, like you said, reshuffle and just figure out, well, which ones were really the best. And, you know, I could see like a number three jumping ahead of a number two or a number one, you know, after 10 years.
Yeah.
right? And so it's kind of fun.
I think you spend more time
like getting ranking the order and stuff. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And for me, it's pretty fluid.
It could be like your number four album of 2013 could become your favorite album of the decade.
It could.
That's going to keep people. And of course, maybe Nicholas in his top 10 for the decade will be something from like 1977.
Right.
Because yeah. He's not bound by the rules. He makes his own rules. Like 38 Special does that. Don't they make their own rules? I think they do.
Well, what do they? I know. they're, you know, primary, what is that? The prime objective? Is that a phrase? The prime objective?
Yeah.
Like in, you know, like Star Trek and stuff. Oh, prime directive.
Okay.
Their prime directive is, you know, not to hold on too tightly to things.
Right.
And really, all their philosophy always relates back to that.
If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act. You want to, you know, you want to hold on loosely.
Yeah.
Because counterintuitively, if you hold on too tight, you're going to lose control.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, until you try it a few times, it's really kind of hard to get your mind around it.
They could probably teach a 10-day course on that whole concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out in California at a retreat, you know, led by the lead vocalist for 38 Special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could turn it into like an exercise craze, like with ropes and weights and things. You're holding on loosely, you know?
Right.
Maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but I think there's something there.
It's like if you climbed the rope, then the goal would be to hold on just at the level that you stay on and don't fall.
Right.
But don't grab it so hard.
Right.
Because then
it would be brittle.
And then you lose control.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is pretty good. Well, we're up to $0, right?
Yeah.
We're over an hour. Even with the extensive editing I'll have to do, it'll be over an hour. And that gives them $0 guaranteed.
Yeah.
And there were five albums that I sent out to you and Nicholas for consideration.
When was that?
I think I sent an email yesterday. You should have it. It was from the Will's Band account.
Oh, yeah. Those are always redirected into my spam folder. I'll have to go look in there for them.
Yeah, that's right. Because you get so many of them. but there were a couple that I thought maybe Nicholas would like, and we haven't had him on for a while. So that's what I was trying to run them by him,
mm-hmm.
but also by you, of course.
I'm going to predict that the next time we talk to Nicholas... Well, we know it's going to be early in the morning, right?
Usually it is.
And he's going to be like at the beach in his car parked under mm-hmm. a tree.
Right.
Is that kind of like his studio?
It's usually, yeah.
It's like he's always doing that. Well, no, not literally every time, but it seems pretty frequent that guy goes to the beach.
Yeah. Tough life. All right. I guess it's time to sign off, huh? It's always sad to say goodbye for another week.
Yeah.
But we have to do it.
We have to.
So I've got another live report for next week. We've got something on the agenda. And then the following week, this is the weirdest thing. It was an odd scheduling thing. I bought advance tickets for three consecutive shows that are on three consecutive Saturday nights.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's kind of good for an aging rocker.
Right.
To be able to do the Saturday night show.
And tonight is number two?
Yep. Another one in Milwaukee and then in Madison next week.
What one is that?
Ought.
Oh, really?
He's playing at the High Noon. Noon. Yep.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I think I'm going to be out of town. Huh.
Well?
If not, I'll think of some other reason I can't do it.
If anybody wants to come and see Ought in Madison. Controversial band, according to the podcast.
You know, I'm starting to like it more. Like, I was kind of between you and Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming more to your side, so...
And if you're even leaning in that direction, I think you'd really appreciate the live show.
Mm-hmm.
At least the last time I saw them was really excellent. So, all right. Well, very good. Let's sign off before the people turn it off. Most of them have turned it off already, probably. But
Right. Everybody
who stayed till the end, you're great. So thank you again. We will talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.